I will not act out on this podcast today.
I had a couple people text me. They were like, wow, you guys are really committing to this whole spiraling thing.
Oh, God.
In like really? A good way. They're like, we love it. Are you okay?
Right. I had one or two people be like, no, like your intros are really funny and good. Like, I feel like you're in my living room. And I'm like, thank you. But let me tell you, the last thing that we need is like encouragement on that front. You know what I mean?
Agreed.
Like, no, like, let me pull myself back. Let me shut the fuck up for once.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've committed to not working through my personal trauma in this intro today.
But it's like every week there's just more.
Yeah, that is true.
There's just more. I'm like, oh, last week I thought I was struggling, and this week I'm like, no.
I was like, you can't say shit today because would you like to inform the girls?
Ida came to town and whomped everywhere. I feel like 80% of everything I was looking at on social media was just like the Titanic. It's a scene where Kate Winslet goes down to like the bowels of the ship to try and free Jack from being handcuffed to a cop desk. It was like that. Yeah. And my building, the gutter overflowed from the top. I'm on the 5th floor out of 6 stories. Mm-hmm. So when my bathroom started raining from the inside, I was like, are these motherfuckers above me? Did they just like leave their bathtub on or something? Because like I could literally hear water flowing in the walls. Mm-hmm. So I like went upstairs and they're like, so the gutter overflowed and it's just pouring water back into the building from the top down. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. So there's like literally nothing we can do. Just like, cool. There's nothing we can stop this. Okay, great. And then it was just me monitoring the bubbles growing in my walls.
Your wall was like alive.
Truly, it was a creature. And on the one hand, I was like, this looks kind of funny.
It looked like a dick.
It looked like a bulge.
There were like dicks growing from your walls. Yeah. It's like the inside of my head.
Yeah. Truly.
You know how they say it's like gray sweatpants season?
Yeah. Yes, it was. My walls turned into gray sweatpants. It was just bulges everywhere. And then I had to pop them. At first, I was like, no, I don't want to touch them. I was so unwell
with that. Oh, of course you did.
And then someone told me, they're like, no, you're supposed to pop them to let the water out because you don't want the water to remain behind the walls and then like, you know, create mold or rot. And I was like, oh, fuck, that actually makes sense. It's like, all right, here I go. Yeah. And because it's a pre-war old ass building, they're like, oh, by the way, the boiler room flooded. So there's no hot water for the foreseeable future. Sorry. So
well, if you want hot water, you can come over.
Yeah. I'm showering your cloud. Yeah. It's like funny. It's like the opposite is that like your apartment looks so fucking good. It's so plush.
Literally, like we could not be having two more opposite experiences at the moment. Like you don't have hot water or walls and your place is waterlogged and flooded. Yeah. My apartment's finally done and beautiful and plush. And like I wasn't affected by either of these hurricanes and my life is perfect.
Climate change comes for us all.
First of all, were they two hurricanes? What has happened?
Like there is Henri. And now I think there was two hurricanes. How do they name these things? Like who picks these names?
They decide them at the beginning of the year. And I only know that because someone just told me.
I think it's stupid.
Do I sound better today? We're recording remote and I don't feel like I'm in a tin can anymore.
No, you sound great.
Do I sound okay? Okay, good.
Yeah.
Well, I finally have things to soak up my gay voice. Yeah.
You have all your white humps too. So
I have all my white humps. Yeah.
I feel like your apartment just like smells like a cloud.
My apartment smells good as hell. It really does smell like a cloud. So actually, can I tell you something?
Yes.
I suppose I've already told you, but I might as well shout them out. When I moved in, I didn't have any hand soap because I ran out. I had a normal human experience. And I was like, no, I'm committing to this cloud aesthetic in every way possible. So like before I need anything for the place, I just put cloud before it when I search it. And I don't know how I came across it, but of course, Bath and Body Works has a hand soap called Vanilla Cloud.
Of course.
And I was like, let me just. So I hit them up and I was like, yo, I just moved into this new place. I really wanted to have like, I used some bullshit phrase. I don't know. And I said like an olfactory aesthetic, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, I noticed you have this hand soap. Do you mind like sending me a couple along with some candles for my place? I was like, it's very white. It's very like Vanilla Cloud vibes. It's very sweet, marshmallowy, all of that. And they're like, we got you, fam. And when I tell you, this box showed up, and I opened it and all I could do was laugh because Bath and Body Works gives generously, right?
Yeah.
But they're very funny and sort of like in on the joke of like, I don't know what the joke is, but they just will hook you up. They yes. sent me 15 Vanilla Cloud hand soaps and I think like 18 candles that they curated Holy for my shit. Place. Like it's, they're all, I got a lot of vanillas. I got a lot of, oh my God. All the components are like white cream and like light blues and things. They hooked it the fuck up. Shout out to the family Bath and Body Works. Like it's so funny.
I love how they're like that overly doting college mom.
Yeah.
Who like, you're like, mom, I have a cold. And then she sends like 5 boxes of like care package items.
It's so like, I just opened it. And I was like, this is so crazy. Like it's shout out so to Chrissy funny. Montero and the whole family. I yes. don't know. And my placement smells so good. It looks so good.
Yes. Yeah. Now I'm like on a home improvement kick because I already know that like the walls and ceiling of my bathroom are gonna have to be replaced. Like the building is doing it because it was like a part of a building infrastructure failure, so like their insurance is taking care of it, but
thank god
seriously. So like they have to replace like the, I don't know, drywall, sheetrock, like that, what is the material that makes the wall? Whatever that is.
If you think I have an answer for that question, but yes.
I don't know. You walked me through how to hang a shelf once, so now you're just like my go-to.
That's true. That's just so odd because I hired someone to do everything in my apartment. Like I don't know who that person was that walked you through how to like hang things, but she's not me anymore.
Yeah. So I'm like, I know that like at some point, like they're gonna have a repair dude come in and do that. I don't know how long that's gonna even fucking take. I'm like, what hotel can I scam into? Letting me stay there for like a night or two
because I enough people
won't have a bathroom basically,
right.
But now I'm like, oh, what else, what other things can I change in my apartment? Can I swap out this stupid door or like put a door on the stupid little storage cubby above the closet that doesn't have a door for some reason?
You are sort of like the home improvement and interior design queen though.
I love it. That's all, because all I do is spend time at home. So I'm just constantly like, how do I make this as optimal as possible?
This is true.
I mean, there's a couple fucky things in here that I'm like, why would you do that? Like having two doors perpendicular to one another open into each other. I'm like, why would you do that? That's just, right. It's like some Three Stooges shit.
Wait, speaking of though, you sent me a table last night called the Tynan Dining Table. Yes. What the fuck?
You know, when you just like online shop because you're bored and you're like,
girl, yes.
Maybe buying a stupid thing will make me feel better.
Will this fill the void?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, well, this new dining table fill the void. And I found one called, because I was looking for a round pedestal dining table, like a bistro table. And there's one called Tynan. The Tynan table.
That's so funny. It's on All Modern. See you in court, All Modern.
Yes. See you in court, All Modern. Where are my royalties?
Literally. How the hell did you come across that name?
Yeah.
Jesus.
It's actually like the table that's like in my price range that fulfills the criteria. So part of me is like, maybe I will get that table.
I need that table, but I, on principle, I am not buying it. They can send it to me.
Yes. Yes.
All Modern. What's good?
Yeah, how do I get to that level where I get sent furnishings and also get free hotel rooms? Like, that's all I need.
My old Urban Decay contact is now at West Elm. And if you think I'm not going to ride that one till the wheels fall off, I'm like, what's up, girl? I just moved.
Shit.
I know.
Yeah.
So when you see me doing SponCon for West Elm, you know exactly what happened.
I'll be happy for you, is exactly. What. That's how I love to see a girl boss winning.
That's much more you than me, though. And you have way more it followers. Is. So you'll probably get that before I will.
Maybe. We'll see. Oh my God. I don't know.
They can be our first sponsor.
I would love that.
Smell you later. Sponsored by West Elm. Actually, that makes sense.
Kind of.
Fuck BetterHelp.
We can make it make sense. fuck BetterHelp, we can make it make sense.
Yeah, I clearly am prioritizing like end tables over therapy.
Oh my God. Toxic influencing. That should be our next scheme.
God. Yeah, hell yeah.
I don't identify as an influencer. I don't have that many followers to like give anybody ROA, I think.
I don't agree with that.
Like when I look at the analytics or like the metrics, the numbers of things, I think maybe not even like 10% of people look at things, and then maybe 2% of people actually engage with them.
That's all you need though. Like, and literally 2% is crazy in terms of like engagement.
That's insane too. But to me, I'm like, that's not that many people. Because I don't have that many followers to make it that many people at that percentage. But I think there's just like the perception of like, you have an amount of followers with a K after the number. Therefore, you're an influencer. You have a platform. And I'm like, no, that's not how this works.
It's all about conversion, girly. I know that I only have like, 6,000 followers, but I know that my conversion's higher than usual. Yeah. And I'm sure yours is too, because we have the same sort of audience.
Yeah. Also, the only things people give a shit about that I post is literally just makeup or skincare. I don't know. Again, I'm feeling very uncharitable this week because...
because your apartment's caving in.
Every pillar of security in my life has crumbled in a week. And I'm like, I empathize with you, but also this is not it. I don't know.
This is not that.
And I'm not talking about the abortion ban, although that is fucking insane. That's more just like... ban men.
Like, yeah, that's a platform.
Men should be banned. If you don't want women to have abortions, just prevent men from ejaculating, period.
Oh my God, not ejaculating.
That's it. That's literally it. That's what causes pregnancies, is men ejaculating. So just stop them from doing it.
Oh my God, we have to stop saying that word.
Okay. I read a very long Twitter thread that made too much sense and it got me enraged. That like the cause of all pregnancies, wanted or unwanted, are men's orgasms. So men need to stop orgasming.
I mean,
we really are spiraling. Fuck.
I feel like I am not spiraling this week. So listen, you have the floor to spiral.
You're good. I'm going through it, man. I'm not doing well. That out there.
I hate when we record remotely because then I feel like I don't get like the full tea.
Somehow we have to bring this back to smells.
Let's talk about fragrance.
Let's bring this back to what this podcast is about, not our personal struggles.
Not suing All Modern for taking my name
in vain.
Sable, what do you smell like today?
You know what? I had to go back to the nostalgic teenage smells because I realized all I want to smell like is a time when I had no responsibilities and had no cares. So, okay, I doused myself in Marc Jacobs Daisy because I'm like, this smells like a carefree teenager who is sheltered and has no responsibilities other than, you know, just going to public high school. Not private school, because that's too bougie, but public high school. And I have shelter and security and the security of suburbia, of suburban America.
Yeah.
And I am protected by that enclave. Suburban America pre-climate change urgency. So
yes,
that's what I smell like, is the comfort of youth.
I like that.
That's the best way that I thought about it. I mean, we both have like such a dick ton of fragrances that every day I'm just like, what do I want to smell like today? And then even when I decide that, I'm like, there's so many variations of that way I can smell. And I'm like, I just need to smell comfort. I need comforting smells right now.
Wait, so that was my next question. This is the original Daisy, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The OG. So it's also like, I sprayed it maybe like 2 hours ago. It's like already gone.
Yeah. I'm so grateful.
Another thing about teenage smells is like, they're all eau de toilettes.
Right. No, I'm so grateful that you showed me the way with the Daisy Flankers, because I love Daisy Love and I love Daisy. What do I love? What is it? Intense one?
Yes. Oh, so intense.
Oh, so intense. I'm looking at it right now, but I can't read it. Both are so, so good. The OG Daisy that you're wearing is still not my vibe. It's a little too white floral for me, but Daisy has some really good members of the family. I love them.
Yeah. I think I prefer the Oh So Intense to the original.
Really?
Because it's a little milkier, like it's a little creamier. It gives it more legs.
That strawberry note really is a nice surprise.
Yeah.
We love a strawberry note.
Yeah, but also, and I hope this isn't steal the thunder of what you might smell like today.
By all means.
We were both sent a shit ton of Etat de Libre samples.
Yes, I finally opened mine.
I like sniff them. I spray them like on their little cardboard boxes and sniff them that way. And we were both really curious about what Secretions Magnifique smells like.
Yes.
And I sprayed it in its little box and put it back in the box. And it's like on my desk, a foot from my face, maybe like 2 feet from my face. I sprayed it yesterday afternoon, mind you, and I can still smell it that far away. Really? And it is haunting me. I feel like once it got in my nose, it like corrupted me.
So you do that, but I don't like to smell anything not on my skin.
I know. So if I don't like the way it smells on the box, I won't put it on my skin.
I don't ever smell it on paper before I smell it on myself. I'm a purist in that way. But that's why sometimes it takes me long as hell to like work through a collection. It'll take me, I don't know, like this is going to take me a week and a half, which is fine. I'm not complaining. Do they send you a full bottle of Yes, I Do?
No, but they sent me a sample of that.
Nice. Did they send you any full bottles?
No.
Oh, rats.
I didn't ask, to be fair. So
they sent me a full bottle of Yes, I Do just because it's pink. And I was like, you understood the assignment. I can't wait to smell Secretions Magnifique. I've been wanting to smell that for literally years.
Did you not get a sample of that?
No, I did. I haven't broken it out yet.
It is vile. It's truly like, I feel like it's like an evil scent, like in a movie. And they're like, you mustn't read from the Book of the Dead. It's like that. But once you smell it, you're like, well, now I'm corrupted forever.
I'm going through my box right now. I'm sorry if this is loud. So yeah. Secretions Magnifique is supposed to smell like secretions from the body. It's supposed to smell like cum and spit and blood. Yeah. So excited to smell it, but it's gross.
It's vile. Like,
well, let's pull it up.
It's almost as though it was engineered to just overload your disgust receptors. Like truly.
Disgust.
Yeah.
Not disgust. Ugh.
There's just like, there's something that's like so pungently metallic and sour that like my whole face just like cringe, like crumbles.
I really want to spray it on right now, but I don't because I really like what I smell like.
That's
but
the weird thing. It's like I didn't, it was so vile. I didn't want to put it on my skin, but I was like, who is buying this? Like I truly wonder.
Like blood, sweat, sperm, saliva, Secretions Magnifique is as real an olfactory coitus that sends us into the raptures, the pinnacle of sensual pleasure, an extraordinary and unique moment, blah, 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 that triumphs over reasons. I am so excited to smell that, although you are making me less so. But I think that it is certainly probably a thought experiment in fragrance. And even if it's bad, I'm glad, happy it exists. And I love anything blatantly inspired by sex. So here we go.
No, I'm sure there are people who love it. I'm sure there are definitely people who are drawn to it.
Yeah.
But I'm not one of them. It's like some Fear Factor shit.
Fear Factor.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll have to see.
I've smelled some pretty bad smells. And this is unique in that it doesn't smell bad. It smells evil.
I love that.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're listening. Like, hey, you motherfuckers, we didn't send you all these scents that you specifically requested to talk shit about.
No, the other scents smell lovely. It's just this one. I was like, I think this was designed for evil.
Yeah.
And you have succeeded. So congratulations.
Success.
Success. Tynan, what do you smell like today?
I really love what I smell like today. And I am talking about it specifically because I keep getting questions about this brand and we keep getting questions about this brand. This scent is from artisan perfumer, entrepreneur, working mom, and close personal friend Kim Kardashian. This is Nude Soleil from her Nudes collection.
Oh, with so creepy flesh bag bottles.
Flesh bag, the skin bottles. I think the bottles are really beautiful. And I
love the concept of them. And then too. you said flush bag, and now I can never unknow that.
I know. The only reason is, so like, I made the fucking mistake of reading the comments on Trendmood, and they're like, they look like bags of skin. And I'm like, they're pretty, you fucking plebes. I don't know. So I get a lot of questions about KKW fragrance. Yeah. And I feel like so do our DMs. And I feel like, by and large, people really like her scents quite a bit. And so, I mean, I'm always excited about them. I know people really love KKW Body. I know that they like the Kimoji fragrances. I know people really love, like, people just like her shit. And she makes her shit.
I think they're all good scents. I just, personally, I just don't find them that interesting.
Sure, sure.
But they're all pleasant.
Yeah. Yeah. The Nudes collection, I have worn my way through, and there are four. She usually releases in three, which I think is kind of a choice, but I mean, they're all usually 1 ounce and they're all usually $40. So I think that's cute. I love, like, elevated accessibility, if you will. But yeah, she usually releases in three. She released four scents in this collection. And I think I texted you this. I'm like, at what point is it like, what are you doing? Or like, what's the point here? What is, what, why four fragrances? Like, what, I don't know. It just seems like, what can you, as a consumer, like, what can you sink your teeth into when you have so many options and you release so seasonally? And like, the concept is nude, but they all seem floral. I don't know.
Maybe because because there's shades involved. Like, it's nude, they're skin tone colored. Like, having three was maybe a little too obvious of like light, medium, dark. So they're like light, medium, tan, and dark.
Sure.
Just to be a little bit more I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. I have no idea.
Maybe. I don't know. But so I actually, and I wasn't like that geared on this Nudes collection because it seems very floral. And I was like, I that's just, I know I'm not going to really like that. Turns out I kind of do. There are interpretations on fun florals. They're not all specifically floral. Oh. There's nude sand, nude silk, nude soleil, and nude suede. And
interesting.
Nude soleil is the first one that I tried. It's what I'm wearing today, and it's the one that I like the most. It is really, like, I don't know. It's really beautiful. Soleil means the sun, right?
Yes.
So, yeah, it's that. And, I mean,
I would have thought they would have been like skin scents, like musky kind of scents.
They're not skin scents. They're certainly florals.
Yeah.
But Nude Soleil, I mean, means the sun. And to me, it smells like the sun. And I love any olfactory interpretation of the sun and summertime and warm air and things like that. And this is that. This is, I mean, my favorite interpretation of that is Armani Sun Di Giorgio, which I have talked about incessantly. And this is not, it's, you know, they went to the same school, but they're not related. It's like Sun Di Giorgio gives you sort of like a little like coconut and sunscreen and sweat and salt. And this is much more plush and much sort of less literal, less imaginative, but it still gives you a little bit of that warm, sunny air. Mm-hmm. It smells like a Siamese cat laying on an Angora sweater.
Ooh.
It is, it's really beautiful and lovely. And I'm not like completely head over heels for it in that way, but it is my favorite of them. And I'm really happy that I'm wearing it today. They describe it as woody, floral, musky. And sure, at the top, there's pink peppercorn, cardamom, and ambrette. In the middle, there's santal, rose absolute, and honeysuckle nectar. And at the base, there's skin musk, cashmere woods, vetiver, and orpour. So it's that. It's sort of like ambery in a way.
Yeah.
And like, it doesn't, there aren't any florals to like latch yourself onto, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Which is a bonus for me. It's just sort of like sweet, warm air and heat and skin and cashmere and amber. And I don't know. It's like really nice. I really like it. Yeah. I don't know. I got a lot of questions about these fragrances. Yeah. And I guess like all I can fucking say is like, they're all really nice. So if you want them, go buy one. They're $40. If you can spare that, I don't think you're going to be disappointed.
I am surprised at how affordable they made the price point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I would have assumed they would have been like 60.
Well, she does do more expensive ones for bigger versions, like body and stuff. But like body and the, what the fuck, the quartz ones, those are all her cores.
Oh, the crystal ones?
Yeah, the crystal gardenia oud, like that shit you can buy sizes of, because that's the core collection. These, the seasonals, I think you usually only get 1 ounces. Yeah, I mean, I would say go get them if you were someone who was asking me about them. My favorites are obviously Nude Soleil, and Nude Suede is also very good. So Nude Silk and Nude Sand are not me. They're very kind of floral, perfumey scents, but they're also in that way really nice versions of what they are. Also, on the flip side of that coin, I do sort of feel like you've smelled those before. They're really nice, like, redos of other scents that you maybe smelled growing up, or are more like feminine florals, whatever. I hate describing shit like that, but those are that. Yeah, I don't know. These are just like really nice. People keep asking us to like do a KKW episode or whatever. And like, of course, if we could get Kim, like, we would absolutely do that. I don't really see another way to make that make sense.
Yeah.
What? Say it.
Like, I just don't think that they're that interesting.
Oh, no. I don't disagree with you.
I guess, like, I literally can't think of anything I'd care to ask Kim Kardashian.
Oh, bitch. I would have Kim on a, I know on you in a heartbeat.
I know.
Are you,
you
kidding
would.
Me?
I just have no...
Listen, like, I know that this is a 50-50 gig, and I would never push you to do anything you want, but if we ever got Kim Kardashian...
I would let you take that. I'd let you take that interview, and I'll just sit it out.
It's me and Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, it's just you and Kim.
Smell you later.
Yeah.
I would never put the listeners through that. She'd be like, what the fuck have I got myself into? It is interesting to me, with all of their business ventures that she has started and has committed to fragrance.
I think she's committed to it because it's done well for her.
Yeah,
but it's an affordable part of her lifestyle brand that people can buy into.
No, totally. I don't know if I'm surprised that it has done well. Not well for her. That's a rude ass thing to say, but I just like, I don't know. It just, I could have seen it sort of going either way. I guess like, I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, wow, perfume is cool. I fucking co-host a fragrance podcast. But it's just like, I get excited by it. I agree with you that I don't think she's reinventing the wheel or anything, but I think Kim scents are cool. And they're usually good. Like, people like
them. Well, that's the thing, is one of the easiest kind of like bread and butter type product categories for celebrities specifically. So it's in her best interest to line her pockets with a perfume line.
Yeah.
Her scents, like you said, her scents are pleasant. They're most people like them. I think they appeal to the, you know, mass market. So it's like, of course they're going to do well. They're affordable. She's a huge, huge star. So she has like built-in marketing that way. Like, right. I would not be surprised if her fragrances are keeping like KKW Beauty afloat. Wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Because way more people wear fragrance than wear makeup.
That's true. The only thing I will say about all of these nude scents is that I do wish that they were a little stronger or lasted longer. I don't love a super strong fragrance, but I do like it to last. And I feel like you could turn these up 20% and I wouldn't be angry about them.
Are they Eau de Toilette or Eau de Parfum?
I think they're Toilettes.
Actually, I was going to say, I'm like, for $40, they're probably,
I mean, you're probably getting a Toilette. Anyway. Yeah.
Anyway. I feel like our guest is like the total opposite of a KK. I guess, is the W gone?
Oh yeah.
Is it KK Beauty?
It's still
KK
in
Beauty
right
sounds
now.
Really iffy to me.
That's true.
1K away from being really problematic. But
well, you're right, Sable. Our guest is the antithesis of that, and we love him for it.
Yeah.
We have talked at length about Wilhelm Parfumerie on this show, and today we are very excited to have the founder and creative director.
I love the bottles. The scents are great. We dove into a bunch of their samples weeks ago, and he strikes me as such like a, like, I don't mean this visually, but like, he's like a Willy Wonka of scent, or like,
oh my God, yeah,
of scent, you know, like how he just thinks of creating scents in such an imaginative, fantastical way. And it's like, has this kind of like, I don't know, it's just like this cool, like, factory of these storied scents that you're not just wearing a smell, you're like, you're wearing a story, you're wearing this moment in time and this like fictional, I don't know, it's almost like Wes Anderson-y, like the tableau of them all, which I think he would appreciate.
I agree. In getting ready for this episode, I mean, like, I thought I was pretty well read with Wilhelm, but as we sort of dove deeper, one, they had way more fragrances than I thought.
Yeah.
And I knew they had a lot, but they had more than I expected. And then two, I knew that the fragrances that I gravitated toward were very much inspired by a time and a place and a scene, but in learning more, they all are. And I mean that in sort of like, they set the entire scene for you. They set, you know, where you are, when you're there, and who's there with you and who inspired it. And it's sort of like when you spray these on, how do I want to say this? It's like the scene is already set, and you're not interpreting that scent out into your life. It's like you are putting yourself in that scene that they built for you. I don't know. I'm really excited.
Yeah. It's such a good, like, luxury interpretation of understated whimsy, which I feel like Swedes just do really well. Yeah. Swedes do that really well. So, and it's a Swedish brand. So yeah, let's dive into our interview.
Let's go.
My name is John Wilhelm Ahlgren, and I am the creative director and the founder of Wilhelm Perfumery.
Very cool.
Beautiful. Yeah. And John, what do you smell like today?
Today? I mean, I'm not sure I smell that great today. I should. You know, I have not put on any perfume. I got home late last night. I have then been with my little daughter. So what I smell like today is probably then, I guess, it's a mix of morning chess, and there's also a mix of, there's some smoke show, and there's also another one, a new fragrance that I'm working on, that I've had on. So that's what I'm smelling today.
Okay. Great. Okay. We are both we're both big fans of morning chess. I think me specifically, I've been wearing it for like 4 or 5 years. I think it's like, I don't know. I remember the first time I put it on, and it just like changed the chemical makeup of my brain. I am a gigantic fan of that fragrance. It's followed me through some like very important things. I don't know. I'm just very happy to be talking to you because of that and because of the rest of everything that you do. I'm very excited.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Likewise.
Your apartment must smell good all the time.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically I have so many lab samples here in the apartment. It's not even real how it sort of looks. It's I could, but now it's a podcast, right?
So right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So the apartment smells good. It does.
We love that. So on your website, you mentioned that you are a polymath. Can you tell us a bit about that? Well, somebody
your
mentions
website
that.
Does.
Oh yeah, you're talking to the new Leonardo da Vinci here, right?
Your copywriter really went wild with that.
Oh, one, but... yeah, they went really wild there then. Okay, yeah.
Can you just tell us how you got into fragrance and how you created Wilhelm?
Well, I was designing leather bags, and I wanted to find a scent that would match the design. And to do that, obviously, I had to get in contact with somebody, you know, who knew a bit about fragrance and the perfumer, obviously. And I got in contact through some friends with Robert Thé, and then later got to know Jérôme Pinette, and that's how it started. And when I got introduced to the world of fragrance, I really felt that I found what I want to do for the rest of my life. Like I completely fell in love, and still to this day, I'm constantly learning, and I just love the world of fragrance.
What about designing perfume or putting together fragrance flipped a switch within you in a different way than leather bags? Like, what do you think made that change?
In fragrance, there's no limit to your imagination of when you're creating a perfume. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could be my next perfume could be based on, you know, us talking here, this podcast. And then you might have, you know, Immanuel Kant pops in, and then you might have Caravaggio painting might be, you know, behind you where you're sitting. And then there might be, you know, there's some jazzy music playing, and you might be sitting here smoking a cigar, and then you know, whatever it is, and any character, you can make up anything and that becomes a perfume. So, you know, that's what I love about it, that there's no limit to the imagination of when you're creating something. Like, you could be, I don't know, like in the garden, you know, you could have Chet Baker coming to the garden, or Salvador Dali, and he's painting, you know, as Chet Baker's playing, he's painting to that. And how is the smell in this garden? How does this scenario smell? Or how is the smell in Francis Bacon's studio when he's painting? Or all of these things, you can make up anything. And I like to sometimes imagine that I'm there in these different occasions. And that's why I chose to do fragrance, because you have the vision, you have the design part, you have the scent part, you have all elements in one, all that you're working with, all your senses, basically.
I feel like when you work with leather goods, that's already such a fragrant experience, because like the smell of the leather is so rich. So it's great. I've actually never thought about that, of people making a scent component to go with like leather goods, but that's such a great idea.
But I mean, it started already with, you know, Caterina de' Medici, they gave her scented leather gloves.
Oh.
So, I mean, that's, so it's really going back, back in time to, you know, and so, and I think in many ways, I want to go back even further in time, how they were creating fragrance, like almost go back and try to make gloves how they did it back then, and if that could then inspire to a new fragrance, so on. So yeah.
So you grew up in Sweden, right?
Yeah, I'm
Swedish. And you're living in France now?
Yeah, living in Paris.
Was there something about the culture of fragrance and scent in Sweden that kind of caught you or got you hooked onto fragrance and scent? Or like, what is the culture of fragrance in Sweden?
No, not at all, I would say. No, I mean, it's very fresh. It's very clean. Yeah. It's a lot of nature. But I mean, it's sort of scent cult, not really. I mean, it's coming more and more. And obviously, there's been some great launch, you know, like Byredo, for instance, what he's done. But that's sort of, he also captures Sweden in a way. It's clean. It's you know.
Yes. Yeah.
So. I don't know if that answers your question.
No, I mean, it does either way, because that was your home. That's where you grew up. Like, we're always so curious. We love talking about culture of scent in different countries and the way people grew up with them, because in America, it's so, I feel like we're like, in America, we're so obsessed with scent, specifically of smelling clean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like, there's a right way to smell and there's a wrong way to smell. But I feel like so many other cultures just embrace all scents.
Yeah.
And like, I think that's way more interesting.
Well, I from my upbringing, at least, I would say it was definitely on the clean side.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. And I think that's pretty typical Swedish. So maybe that's why there's been an explosion now, or explosion, but many brands coming out from there and wanting to express. And because obviously Swedes, they do tend to travel a lot. So
did the people you grew up around, maybe like specifically your parents, wear fragrance? Because I know personally, like, fragrance was always sort of in my peripheral with my mom. So I think that's how like my obsession with fragrance started. Like, did you grow up around people who were, fragrance was important to them, or was it something you came to yourself?
No, this definitely came to myself. No, it came to myself. Yeah, I would say cool. So. Yeah.
So with your collection, when I'm looking through the fragrances and even listening to the little bit that you've spoken about Wilhelm thus far, there seems to be sort of like a time and a place with every fragrance that you create. I'm just thinking like Poets of Berlin or 125th in Bloom or even Morning Chess. Can you talk about like what inspires your approach to fragrance? And if this is intentional, like how do you get to a final scent? Do you see like a scene that you try to recreate, something very specific, or is it more like you want to create a scent around a specific note? Like, what is your inspiration and method like?
Like now, for instance, when I'm working on some new fragrances right now. So at the moment, I'm thinking about interesting characters taking it a train ride together. And it's Frida Kahlo with Trotsky, because they had a love affair. And I find that extremely fascinating, their story. And then you have Francis Bacon, who I'm very much into right now, and his love affair with Lucian Freud. And then I want another character, and I don't know if I'm going to have Maria Callas or Orson Welles in there. So they are going on this journey together, sort of like an Oriental Express, I guess. Filmed and shot a bit in a Wes Anderson style, I'm hoping. And then I need to, these places, like, and these coaches where they are traveling, because they're having different coaches. I mean, there will be three coaches because there are two couples and then one by itself. And they have a certain scent to them. So then now I'm digging in, if I go on with this idea, I have different ideas or concept, but if I continue with this, then I would, you know, I dig deep into the character. I want to learn all about it, or them as a person. And then I find, and that's how I build and how I do fragrance. And sometimes it's made up meetings that I personally would have loved to have. So that's how I work.
In your mind then, do each of those people sort of like bring a different note or a chord to the fragrance? Like, I'm trying to think my way through how you think. Mm-hmm. And do all of these people in a train car, like when you add each of them in, you mentioned switching out Orson Welles with maybe one other person. Do those two characters and people like bring a different note to the table? Like, do people represent different things to you in that way?
Yeah, like if I would, let's say we take Orson, like he was big and grand, like then maybe it's like a big, big, huge white flower. And maybe there's something gourmand, like a big white flower that could be gourmand in a way, which is two opposite, but that could be something interesting.
Yeah.
Or if it's Maria Callas, you know, it's the opera, it's elegance, it's something. Then I really could see something very like jasmine, tuberose or something like that. And then you start looking at, you know, working around it. And that's how my brain sort of works when I start briefing and when I want to get to that moment of how the scent is.
That's so interesting.
I could do that. Just the way the fragrances are described and their names, and like, even like the bottle design is very, I don't know. There's something that it's an object of its own world.
But I want, like, Wilhelm will never be in trend. Like, never. Like, no, it's never going to happen. I mean, I'm trying really to create the world for Wilhelm. Right. Like, if you look at the actual bottle, you will feel that there is something vintage about it, and there's something new. And I love this sort of, because I take a lot of inspirations for the art from the Art Deco period, and also from Bauhaus and so on. You can see that in the design. And I feel that when you look at, if you take the bottle as an example, that it gets approachable because it's something is recognizable, but yet it's new. And it's the same way how I work with fragrances, or there's character here that it's based on that is people know about or they've heard about. And then people also then get their scent pictures and their imagination going. And that's how I work. And I love taking, because there's so much, like for me, you know, all those classes, like from the 20s when you had like Mitsuku and Shalimar and, well, the original Mitsuku, I believe, is Lushu. Right. Because they copied Mitsuku, I think, Guerlain copied it. Coty. But anyway, you have all these classics that are so incredible. So I take a look at them and then take a lot of inspiration from that and so on.
Is
it clear when I, because I know when I talk sometimes it doesn't really make sense, but I'm hoping it does.
Is there a significance to the yellow that's throughout the whole collection?
Yeah, I wanted the brand to feel very, very luxurious, but I also wanted it to feel inviting and fun, because it's very important for me that this is not taken too seriously. At the end of the day, it's a fragrance. It's to give some glamour and joy for, you know, and it's not, we're not saving lives here.
Disagree.
Yeah.
Wait, so I'm sorry, I can't like get off of this subject, but like in the way that people smell different ways in your mind, do you take that into like the real world too? Like when you think of someone like your lover or your kids or whoever, do they have a certain like smell in your head?
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
That's so cool. Sable, what do I smell like?
Well, I think that's not
like
really
cloud.
Fair though, because you already mentioned like morning chest. But I would see you more like something very, very morning chest, something, I don't know, but something very, very, very clean.
Okay.
But I could be wrong, yeah? That's what the feeling I get.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's so, and I love that.
Yeah.
So, I like thinking through scent is something that's like very cool to me. I don't know.
But I mean, it's such a wonderful way of diving in also into characters, or sometimes even creating characters. Like you mentioned there before, it was Poets of Berlin was one of the set. Like there I imagined, you know, David Bowie going to Berlin, and he went there with Iggy Pop, I believe, to calm down after the Ziggy Stardust years. That doesn't really make sense to me that you go with Iggy Pop then. But they went there together, I believe. And then I imagined them with their friends in Berlin, you know, discussing music, discussing art, and coming up with new characters. And because that's something I loved about Bowie. He always tried to reinvent himself. And then I decided to, in my head, to call them for the Poets of Berlin. And then different than like, how would it smell where they were and so on. But that, so that's how I work around it.
What were the first fragrances you launched with?
Well, it was, I launched with 8 fragrances.
Okay.
Because that's my lucky number.
Yeah.
So there was no real strategy there. More than I believed in it and I wanted to, so, because I launched, my first 3 accounts were Liberty, Barney's and Colette in Paris.
Oh, Jesus. That's good.
So, yeah. So
yeah, that's great.
Got off to a good start.
Yeah.
And so I launched with 8 fragrances. I wanted to have a bit of a, where I always wanted to have a presence with the perfume directly. Mm-hmm. And then 8 because of the lucky number.
How long did it take to develop those 8 scents?
Didn't, year and a half.
Wow. Oh, wow.
It went like, pretty quick.
Yeah, that feels quick.
And it's going actually, it's very funny though, because the more I get to know the world of perfume, the more because I feel I was so incredibly naive in the beginning, which is good sometimes. You know, like now I want to dig deeper and I want to like know everything about it and try so many more different things because I didn't have that knowledge in the beginning, you know? So now it's actually taking a lot longer to do it because I do a lot more research and I'm much, much more, I think in a way, picky, like, because my knowledge has obviously gotten, you know, deeper and I know a little bit more what I'm doing now. And in the beginning, I honestly, which just shows just through pure passion and love for it, I managed to launch it because I had no real, you know, there was no real skills, how to say, behind it. I mean, there was just purely driven out of passion and love for it.
So now that you know what's out there, you're like, wait, I can do all these things.
Yeah, well,
all this knowledge.
Yeah, but anyway, I feel more, I don't actually smell other brands no more because I'm always afraid subconsciously that you will then do something, even if that's not your intent.
Right.
This can sort of, you know, there are things that are good, but I also believe now that you have to really, I would like to create one classic, like one classic that really, really stays. That is my dream, that I could give that. And I do, and that will take, I need to develop more and be able to know more and then to have really a lot of time with the perfumer to work on a project and really dig into it deep. Because time today is not as it's, you need a lot of time.
Yeah. What's your idea of a classic in the Wilhelm world?
I was just going to ask, like, what defines a classic to you?
Well, for me, it's the bit like it's Shalimar, it's Mitsuku. So I have high dreams, but I would like to do one of those.
Do you think you haven't already created a classic though?
Oh, no.
Really?
No, I don't think so. No. I mean, I hope maybe I'm wrong. No, I don't think so. No, no. Maybe I'm wrong. But in my opinion, no, no.
I could see like several of these fragrances becoming it's their own kind of hit.
Bestsellers, yeah, and they're selling well. But I'm saying like a real class. I mean, I'm talking about
like defines the fragrance.
Yeah, that defines not just.
I got it.
Yeah. I'm very happy about them, and I think they're great. And I've been so fortunate to work with. So, you know, especially I worked a lot with Jerome Epinette, but I'm working with really good, you know, the most talented perfumers. So I still think we can make it a real classic. Yeah.
Sable, which one are you holding?
I am holding Moon Carnival. That's my favorite. Yeah.
I love that name so much.
I love the scent. Yeah.
It's so witchy. Yeah.
it is witchy.
It's not selling that well, actually, and I always thought it should. It's not one of the best sellers. No, it's not.
What is the top seller?
Yeah.
The top sellers are Morning Chess, Dear Polly, Room Service, Mango Skin, and 125th and Bloom, I believe, are the top five.
Wow. Mango Skin is so
That is
great.
A good one. Yeah.
So good. I mean, of course, Morning Chess is my favorite. I'll say it 1,000 times. There's so many that I love. Morning Chess to me is so nice because it's like, to me, it feels like sort of everything at the same time. Like it's really green, but really floral, but really like sweet and juicy. I don't know. It's like that to me is a classic. Yeah. Like in my dumbass life, you've already created that. And like that to me is like.
That's a real compliment.
it's a very important fragrance to me. I'm sure you can tell. But was that one of the ones that you launched with, Morning Chess? What one of the lucky eight? Okay.
Yeah, it was.
When we sort of combed through the collection, there are a bunch of notes that jumped out to us that we don't often see in fragrance, which I think is sort of how we got here today, this morning, like having you on the show. I'm thinking like you have passion fruit in one of your scents. You have like a Szechuan pepper note. And we just like don't see a lot of that in luxury fragrance. Do you see the fragrance industry sort of Sable, how did you put it? Like incorporating a more unconventional palette. Mm. And do you think that like people need to be a little bit more adventurous to keep pushing the needle in the way that your brand does?
Absolutely. I think now with the niche, you know, fragrance is becoming more and more popular and people are also getting more and more educated with scent. So we have to push it. And keep on pushing it and really go bold and go a lot bolder than we are doing, I believe. And I am definitely doing that because if not, I think it's the right route and direction to take to really, really now dare to push the boundaries and really, really go far. And that doesn't mean that you have to use a bigger palette or whatever. It could be even the opposite, but just the way... also in terms of money you're putting into the raw materials and how you're working with the fragrance. I think we really have to dare to be bold right now.
Yeah.
In terms of notes, notes like that, can you talk about maybe like one or two that really got you excited or ones that were more of a challenge to incorporate or ones that you really wanted to work into a scent? Are there any that stick out to you?
Well, I think patchouli is very challenging because it's very fun, like it can be a bit tricky. Mm-hmm. Like when you go full on, you have a lot of patchouli in one. You know, it can get oxidized. You know, it can go because it's very it's moving this material. I don't know how you say that in English, but it's like I don't know the word for it. But so that one I find very, very interesting.
That's true. Patchouli, I feel like it's so commonly used, but in so many different ways and in different ages of the leaves. Because the scent is totally different depending on like what age the leaves are used. But you're right. Yeah, it's very polarizing.
I usually like to sort of like overdose a certain ingredients into a fragrance to go like really, really far. On one ingredient and see what happens if you do that.
You mentioned before about creating sense based on these like tableaus or characters.
Yeah.
Is there any like who in your opinion would be like a dream person or figure to create a scent around?
Ooh.
Oh.
Like living or made up?
She is on today, girls.
Oh, that'd be... Oh, there's so many. There's really, really a lot.
It's all right.
Yeah.
Sybil, who would yours be?
Oh my gosh. It's also a really big question.
I know. Don't you hate asking questions you can't answer?
I know.
Yeah. But
what are we?
At the moment for me, and this can change, but he passed away.
Because
mm-hmm. I'm really into Francis Bacon at the moment.
Oh, interesting.
Really, really, really a lot. And his work. So it would be to him.
That would be really cool.
To cheer him up. But it's good. Yeah, there were many people. Because that was a question, right? Who would I do it for or not? Yeah, yeah. I would be, today, Francis Bacon. If we did it in a week, could be somebody else.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I feel like so many, like when you insert people or figures into like a narrative of ascent, like suddenly that becomes the hook or like the attraction point. Like when you said David Bowie for Poets of Berlin, I was like, I love David Bowie. So I was like, automatically in my mind, I'm like, oh, I really want to smell that one now.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually no, Eileen Gray, I would also like to do a perfume for.
Okay.
Hmm.
I don't think I'm familiar with her.
So she started off, I believe, as an interior decorator. She was also from Dublin, or from Ireland, at least, same as Bacon. Mm-hmm. And she started off as an interior decorator. She moved to Paris, then she started with interior design. And then later she also did architecture. But she worked mostly with furniture, interior design. And furniture, and she designed this house in south of France that I believe, I could have the story wrong, Le Corbusier was a French famous architect, got very jealous of, and sort of claimed that he did or whatever it was. But at this place, this house in south of France, it's so fantastically done, and I would like to make a fragrance for her and that house, because in that house there's been so many characters that have stayed and lived. There are so many stories surrounding this house. So I would like, maybe that could be one I would like to do as well.
Yeah, like homes and spaces have such scent significance. Like when you walk into a space and you can just take in the smell.
Yeah.
Does Wilhelm do home scents?
No, we don't.
We should.
Should maybe.
Yeah.
There are many things we should do, I feel. But yeah. Yeah.
Just like its own like dedicated scent spaces. That would be so cool.
Yeah. Well, there's so many things to still do, which is great, you know?
I bet a Wilhelm candle, like, scent aside, would just look bomb, don't you think? Like, the component, ooh.
Absolutely.
What the
glass or the container.
Like, the so vessel. Cool.
Yeah.
So, oh, yeah. But we are launching candles.
Oh.
We are launching candles.
Excellent. I'm so excited for that. Are you going to do dedicated candle scents, or is it going to be like the scents from the fragrances?
Dedicated.
Oh, so even better.
So they're based on this imaginary house that I don't have in South France.
Yet.
Where I have, in each of the rooms have a different theme, and I am filling the room with the scent of the candle.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I love that.
So cool. Has anybody... or have you gotten wind that like anyone that you think is impressive has like become a fan of Wilhelm Perfumery?
Yes, there are. And I don't know if it's really true, though. I'm hoping it is.
Okay. There's hearsay.
Because it's hard. Like Jack Nicholson, apparently.
Wow.
I can't confirm because I don't know if it's really true.
Right.
But he has morning chess. And then I don't know. So I don't go out and I don't write because I'm not 100% sure. But rumor has it.
Oh.
So that would be fantastic if that's
true. Well, we love gossip on this show, so we'll take it.
Like I said, I don't know for sure. But Victoria Beckham, I know she loves morning. Room service.
Room service, yes. I read that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
So that's unfortunately, I think it. I don't know anybody else.
Two pretty pretty good gets there.
I mean, Victoria Beckham, living legend. I think that she's all you need, really.
No, room service, I actually must say, is that's a living, that's somebody that I truly admire and a legend. It's a Broadway performer and director and producer and singer, Tommy Toon, who I believe he's won 10 Tony Awards.
Wow.
And wow. He is somebody that I truly admire and love dearly as a person, and has been a very big source of inspiration for me. And we had a night at the Carlisle Hotel, him and me. And, you know, one of his first jobs, I believe, was choreographing, or he was assisting at the Dean Martin show. And he also knew all the big, you know, what I call like real stars, you know, like, you know, Frank Sinatra and you know, he met them all, you know, Gregory Peck and Cary Grant and, you know, all of them. And him and me, we had an evening there, and I would ask him all these questions about all these people and how, you know, how they were and so on. And after that evening, I could really see Greta Garbo in a suite at the Carlisle Hotel, mm. having a bath in like rose petals, and then getting up and going out in New York for a premiere and so on. But he's a person, Tommy Toon, that has really inspired me a lot in terms of my in creativity, in my creatively and also probably one of the most beautiful human beings I ever met.
Oh. Wow. That's so cool. That's so, like, I just love how you talk about like these scenes in your head that you translate into fragrance. It's so like romantic in that way.
Yeah.
On that same note, since like nostalgia, and not even nostalgia, but like imagination plays such a large role in these fragrances, is there a time or a place that you are still trying to lace through a fragrance, or is there a piece of your past that you're trying to put into the future of Wilhelm? It's still something you're trying to like figure out how to do, or does it just come to you naturally?
Sometimes I have a suggestion, or I work on a character, or it's somebody, you know, and it doesn't work. I mean, the story is not that good. I don't get you know, so that can happen, yeah, for sure. And many times, I mean, I try a lot with the different fragrances, and sometimes it's not a good direction I'm giving, and it's not working. I mean, that happens all the time, but I don't think you can be afraid of that. I love actually making mistakes, and I make a lot of them, but that's also how you move forward.
Yeah.
Do you ever find that your mistakes sort of lead you to something else? Because I personally hate making mistakes, and I cannot take no for an answer. So sometimes I just sort of like try to break down that wall, even though it's not going to move. So have you ever had like sort of like a, forgive the expression, but like a happy accident that maybe led you to something great that you weren't expecting? Or are you okay with just pivoting the idea entirely?
No, but I think I have had a lot of things. I mean, a lot of things happen by chance, but that's also because the more you try, the more you are sort of, I feel like, lucky, or things happen by chance, because you are going about and you are pushing it, and it became wrong, but then because it became wrong, but this could actually then, okay, now we push this too far, but if this gets added into it, and then I, you know, I still worry, it could be like a new story comes up because of that. Like Dirty Velvet, for instance, that was a fragrance that took a bit of time, and that was inspired by Miles Davis, who was stuck for a bit. Yes, so there I was stuck. Yes, but he was stuck for a bit, and I imagine how would it be for Miles Davis if he was stuck? What the hell would he do? what would he do, Miles Davis? So I could imagine him like checking into Chelsea Hotel. I don't know. He's not a person that maybe would do that, because. Or maybe he was, I don't know. But and he checked in there, and then he invited a tango dancer to start dancing for him. And he start playing with his instrument. And she start dancing. And then she starts singing as well. And he's trying there to capture her movements. And as she is moving and singing, and he's starting to find a different way of playing, and maybe starting to find those long sort of notes, and then maybe that could be a way that led him to get a new or develop his sound. And that became the inspiration. Then at the end of the day, there's a large crowd gathered outside of his room at Chelsea Hotel. And they're listening to this and are completely blown away. And that is Dirty Velvet.
Jeez. I love how it's not even just the past that you're creating a tableau of. It's like a parallel past of like, what if this happened?
Yeah. With these people? Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah. But it's quite, it's very fun.
Like, yeah. It sounds fun. It sounds, there's just no limit to the reimagining the past. It makes me wonder too, because now that you're explaining it to us, it's so rich in meaning and then in story, like the depth of the story. And you're so good at fleshing out the past. What do you think the future of fragrance looks like? If you were to interpret the future in fragrance, how would that be?
How would that be the future of fragrance? I hope that people will, that it, we're really going to continue to be bolder and bolder and bolder. And that we are maybe working with, like, sometimes less can be also a lot more. Mm. And that people also dare to put more money into raw materials.
Mm.
And also, because there's so many launches going on.
Yes,
and I launched a lot too, but like that has to slow down.
Mm.
Yes. But I don't know if that's possible. But I mean, like, if you really want to have like reached perfection, you need a lot of time to do that. And you need a lot of research and you need a lot of tries, I believe, to reach that. So maybe, I don't know, maybe there will be a little bit less launches. Maybe like some of them, because there are a lot of great launches happening, but there are also some that maybe aren't so really good. And so maybe hopefully less launches in a year,
less launches,
more higher and higher quality,
more thoughtful launches,
more work through,
not
just looking what's out there at the moment and trying to make a tweak of that, but really, really trying to find your own way.
How do you decide what, like, the next fragrance or the next launch for Vilhelm is? Like, is it just you sort of working through what you want to create and then put out into the world? Or do you look for sort of like white spaces in the collection itself? Like, what does that look like?
Well, now that there is investors involved, you know, then you have to, obviously, I have to follow what is then, you know, there's a plan for the launches next year and I have to follow that and create within that. So that's how it looks at the moment. Yeah.
Got it. And what is your sort of like, I don't know, I just love the way that you sort of talk through your inspiration process. So like outside of creating the scent, like how do you get inspired just in your life?
Well, with anything. I mean, I actually try to, when I walk, I made it this thing that I actually really try to look and walk.
Okay.
Feel and smell. And not just if I go to work or if I go to meeting, I'm not just trying to get, I'm actually observing while I'm walking to a place. And I really take time in doing that. But it could be, I mean, it's movies, it's art, it's music, anything. Yeah.
You seem to pull references from a lot of different media. Like no one is safe. Like once you've seen something or someone that you enjoy, you might disrupt them into a fragrance. So.
Oh yeah. I mean, like when we did the boutique, now we opened the Paris boutique that I am immensely proud of. And I work with such a talented architect, Briot Lassonneur, who I work together with. The brief started off like my general idea was Pierre Cardin entering a spaceship in the 1920s, and he turned the spaceship into a jewelry store, and then it took off in the future.
Wow.
And that's pretty wide, you know, in terms of inspiration. And then start narrowing it down, and it came down to Space Odyssey by Stanley Kubrick, and throw in a lot of warmth and a lot of Bauhaus and, of course, Art Deco in there.
Mm.
And then we start working down, you know, taking this down because it's too large, you know, and then the Villain Boutique in Paris, it really ended up exactly how I, that's the core of the brand. That's how I see the brand and has all of the elements there. So that's if the so people cool. are in Paris and are, they should really come and see and look at it.
Yeah. Sable, we got to go.
Yeah, I'm there.
You have to go. And I can talk you through all the different steps.
I mean, say the word, honestly. Not me Googling Francis Bacon in the middle of the interview.
Oh my God. I mean, not me doing that.
I was like, yeah, totally. I was like, who is this motherfucker?
Yeah.
The more you know. Who would you interpret into a scent?
Okay. I just, because I think it would be interesting, even though from an olfactory standpoint, I think this would be super interesting, but like as an actual figure, I'm like not super personally invested, but Clint Eastwood. I think a Clint Eastwood scent would fucking slap. But
is he canceled? Who am I thinking of?
No, I think he's a, oh, is he? I think he's fine. I think if he had said anything iffy, they're like, he's so old. He's like, no.
Who's the director that I'm thinking of?
So many.
Yeah, that's true.
So many.
That's a really good answer.
Clint Eastwood, maybe Christopher Walken. I think a Christopher Walken scent would be fucking wild.
Yeah.
He's not canceled, right?
No.
Maybe we just shouldn't choose men.
That's true.
Period.
My answer is definitely not a man. I don't know who my answer is. I'm thinking like Courtney Love or Amelia Earhart.
He is doing a scent, Courtney Love.
I know she is doing a scent. Allegedly.
Well, like I heard like whispers of that 3 years ago and I'm like,
no, pre-pandemic.
Oh, so, yeah. I'm like, what's the deal, Courtney? What's up?
I want her. I want Princess Anastasia.
Oh, yes.
Amelia Earhart. Yeah. Just anyone with mystery surrounding them, not JonBenet Ramsey, but like,
too young. No minors.
No minors. That's fair. Yeah. That was so the way that he thinks and sees fragrance is so cool. I was trying to like draw that out of him as much as I could, and like his answers were fantastic. But I like, there's like when someone thinks like that, there's like no way to satiate me. I just always want to know more, you know?
Yeah. It's like a mad scientist that switched to be like an English lit teacher or something.
Yeah.
Or vice versa. I don't know.
And you're so right about the Willy Wonka thing too. Yeah. Like
he's like a hot Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
It's like, it's giving, what did I say before? It's giving Swedish Oscar Isaac. Like that was just like, okay.
Yeah.
Because how many Swedish fragrance figures are there? There's like, I can literally only think of IKEA and Ben Gorham of Byredo and now John Wilhelm.
Yeah.
It's not even his full name. He has a third name that I'm forgetting.
Of course he does.
But yeah, like that's like all the scents I can think of.
That was so cool. I have said a billion times, Morning Chess to me is just like a very important fragrance. And like I got it in a very happy time in my life. Yeah. Not that my like awesome life is not happy right now, but it's just like a different time. And that's like what it always like is to me. And just like being able to talk to the person who like created that is like, full circle tease for me.
I feel like he has, you know, remember like back in the early to mid aughts when like it girls were like the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he is like, he has that like it girl energy of fragrance where he's just like a little bit under the radar, but like from the get was picked up by all of these major, I guess, tastemakers like Colette. I think Colette is like RIP now. But yeah, like Barney Sachs, like he's, yeah.
It's he like said that so casually and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Part of me was just like, so who do you know? I'm like, what is the nepotism connection? You're like,
right. How did this happen? And how can we get a piece of it?
Pretty much. But yeah, like I remember seeing the bottles just like in stores and I was like, oh, that's really, really fancy. It's like very luxury, but there's something about it that's also really fun. So I was like, he's got it, man. It's just a matter of time. I mean, the fact that Victoria Beckham like wears its fragrances is pretty.
Talk about a fucking cosign.
Yeah. Like as far as like tastemakers go, like she's fucking up there.
People, I mean, she is.
Has she ever made a fragrance?
Yes. Yes, both her and David Beckham have made fragrances. Oh,
right. How come we never hear about that? I feel like if she did a fragrance line, that would just fucking take off. Like, her makeup line is already
huge.
Huge, yeah. I still have some of the Estee Lauder collab products that are probably really expired now, but like, I don't want to let them go.
right. Yeah, Intimately Beckham by Beckham. Oh. Maybe it was under the Beckham name. I don't know. We'll figure that out. I'm sure if she's not done one, she will.
She will. She will soon. Now that we're in our hyper capitalists. We're in hyper capitalism, she's definitely going to put out a fragrance before it all crumbles. And she should. I would like to see that.
And then she'll come on this show.
Yes.
Well, I think, Sable, I think our next episode is going to be our 1 year.
I believe it is.
Should we do the Smell You Later Awards for that episode?
Yeah, we should.
Hell yeah. We are having our own deranged award show.
Yes.
And it's going to be very fun and very kooky. And we're very excited.
We're going to announce some things. And you can give us feedback. I don't want feedback, actually. Why am I asking for this?
Yeah, this is a no feedback situation.
No, it's a no feedback. It's an award show where we are the Academy. We will not take anybody's.
Yeah. We are both the guests, the judges, and the winners.
Yes, indeed. Indeed.
So we got to figure that out. But stick around for that. We'll see you next week for our 1 year anniversary. Very important. Mm-hmm. Follow us on Instagram at smellyoulater.mp3.
Leave us a review and 5 stars on the Apple podcasts, if you please. And you can follow me at Sabletooth Tigra.
I am at Tynan Buck.
And we will smell you later.
Smell you later.